welcome to Talking Therapies, a podcast made together with Psychologies Magazine and the UK Council for Psychotherapy, or UKCP for short. I'm Susie Walker, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief at Psychologies. Each month on Talking Therapies, we will be talking to a UKCP therapist about a range of topics. In this episode, we are discussing sexual anxiety and finding how common it really is.
The biggest problem we actually see is not the dysfunction itself, but actually the snowball effect of continued avoidance and distancing from a partner, or avoidance of anything to do with intimacy, rather than actually the loss of sex itself.
That was UKCP sexual and relationship psychotherapist Kate Moyle. Kate specialises in helping people who have issues with their sex lives or with their sexuality, or both. She's often in the media talking about sex and relationships to help people better understand sex and make more informed decisions about their bodies. You may have seen Kate appear on BBC Three's Sex on the Couch, where she helped couples talk more openly about sex. Kate is passionate about opening up realistic conversations about sex, which is why she sat down with Professor Sarah Niblock, CEO of the UK Council for Psychotherapy, to discuss anxiety and sex. But first, here are some comments about sexual anxiety from people we spoke to on the street.
I think it's pretty normal to be anxious about sex, and I think it's perpetuated by the media.
I've not experienced any sexual anxiety, but I imagine there are people out there that do experience a lot of it, and it builds up inside. But yeah, mostly, like you say, probably younger people when they're first starting out and things like that.
My experience, no, but obviously some people it must be, but I don't have any problems talking with my partner about problems.
Yeah, it can put a lot of stress on the relationship, I suppose. It can cause arguments, maybe.
Everyone feels self-conscious, so everyone's going to feel anxious in their relationship.
Sexual problems are more common than people think. Four major UK universities conducted one of the largest studies into the sexual problems faced by young people. It found that 1 in 10 young men and 1 in 8 young women reported having persistent, distressing sexual problems. Between 8% and 10% of women reported feeling anxious during sex. Women were more likely to seek help than men, but very few men or women sought advice from professionals, instead turning to friends and family. Kate says that even the numbers we do have are likely to be much lower than in reality because cases are underreported due to embarrassment. So, how can we tackle the sex problems that are keeping us up at night?
Okay, from what I hear, many, many people are anxious about sex, and I just wondered, is that normal?
I think it seems really normal because we're in an environment currently which is really confusing, which is that we don't have good sex education. People kind of have the historical don't talk about sex message, which is ingrained, but then at the same time you're kind of on the way to work and there's a naked woman like spread across a bus advertising perfume, and so the kind of sex sells inference is everywhere, but at the same time only good sex sells. So then as soon as people are having problems, the only reference point they have most often is what we see in the media, so what we see on TV shows and in films, and the difficulty, and obviously pornography is a huge part of that as well, and so the difficulty being there are no inverted commas normal reference points. They are all the kind of idealised versions of sex. And so what that innately means is that we compare ourselves to that, and if there's a problem with sex, that we think that we are, for some reason, not normal. And when I say problem with sex, it could just be that we didn't enjoy sex once and therefore we think that we have a problem, or that there's something wrong, or that we're doing wrong or not getting right, and we don't know what to do with that, and we then internalise the stress. And it causes anxiety pretty quickly.
Yeah, and how does that anxiety affect us?
In every way. The kind of more extreme cases, we see impacts of sexual dysfunction, so people struggling with conditions like vaginismus or sexual pain. For men, rapid ejaculation or erectile dysfunction. General avoidance of sex is a really big problem, especially for people in couples, which tends to be related to the fear of it going wrong. Inability to orgasm, just lack of feeling comfortable around sex. And also that can, if someone is perhaps not in a relationship, it can mean that they avoid sex, so they avoid dating, they avoid meeting people, they tend to kind of pull away, and it can impact self-esteem as well because we feel that we're not enough.
Mm. Do you think it's getting worse? So you've described some quite alarming situations. Are you seeing more and more of this in your experience?
Yes, but obviously my experience is completely exclusively psychosexual therapy, so I wouldn't see kind of more general presenting issues, but I'm definitely seeing younger people coming forward with these issues. So a lot of people who might have gone to their GP and there is medically nothing wrong, and they don't sit in a kind of age bracket where we might see a more higher percentage of people presenting with sexual dysfunction. So I'm seeing a lot of people in their 20s, early 20s as well, who are struggling with
that's
sex.
That's so interesting, because people of that age group have grown up with sex around them so much. I mean, as you say, in society, there are so many more representations of sex in the media, ever more daring shots on screen, and there's a lot of talk about sex generally. So as a society, you'd think, well, we're kind of more obsessed about this than we ever have been and more open about it. But it still seems to be, at the same time, quite a taboo subject, the reality of sex. Is that the case?
I think it's this, we're in this kind of weird kind of crossover and a bit of a kind of strange kind of sex being everywhere but still not being talked about time, especially so you think things like the iPhone have just, I think it's it was 11 years since the iPhone came out. The accessibility of the internet changed everything. So we went from kind of having not very much sex education but being able to kind of leave the classroom and Google the word sex and see sex happening. So there's this kind of strange, almost opposite, I suppose, of a parallel where we're able to see sex everywhere, but nobody's talking about sex.
And at a younger age,
yeah,
obviously.
And, you know, there are statistics, I can't remember where the research is from, but the average age that pornography is first seen in the UK is 10. So that's quite influential. If we see a, perhaps, kind of more, not all pornography is bad, obviously, but we see a kind of more extreme version of sex, or a very idealised, glamorised version of sex, or more hardcore, and nobody can correct us to say, actually, that's not what the definition of sex is, we then kind of think, ah, that's what sex must be, and there is no reference point to changing that until perhaps we start having sex and a partner may or may not correct us.
Yeah, there are so few reference points, and obviously it's one of those topics that I would imagine in some families and parents find it very, very difficult to talk about.
Absolutely.
I'm interested to know, in your experience, what are some of the underlying issues that bring people who are anxious about their sex lives into therapy?
Oh, it's so broad. Anything to do with sex, really. People struggle with negative sexual experiences, trauma obviously being a huge part of that. The fact that sex has never been talked about, so the kind of internalisation of negative messages about sex, religion, faith, culture, difficulty with intimacy or closeness, negative messages. A lot of the people that I'm working with, younger people, are dealing with negative views of sex from as early as kind of hearing about sex in the playground and hearing about that with the first impressions of sex. So the anxiety was there, for example, with young girls before even trying to use tampons. And so the idea of sex being something that isn't possible is so far removed, because something like tampon use might be impossible for them. A body image is a huge thing. Again, at the moment, obviously social media offering a real kind of difficulty with that, or the kind of comparing people's self to others. But a lot of it is how we relate to people, and if we feel uncomfortable with being vulnerable, then having sex with someone is about as vulnerable as it gets. It's exposing emotionally, physically. We are quite often naked in front of someone, and there's that sense of two becoming one and getting lost in another person temporarily is really, really scary for lots of people.
Yeah, because obviously you've described some of the physical manifestations, but it's the underlying emotional ecology that's very much at the root of this.
Emotional closeness is really challenging for lots of people.
And it sounds as if, from what you're saying, that people will come into therapy probably at quite an advanced stage in their distress. Probably because they feel quite concerned and have reached a kind of breaking point, in a way.
I think quite often there's a trigger for coming to therapy. So what we in general, but I kind of definitely see as people are coming at a point where a relationship has broken up,
mm-hmm.
or is on the verge of breaking up, or something has happened, or they met someone actually that they really want to start a relationship with but are unable to be sexual with them, or everyone around them, all of their friends have started kind of settling down, and so mm-hmm. that kind of suddenly feeling like there's a bigger distance between them, a loss of a parent or a significant person in their life, or an experience of loss, lack of self-esteem again, that there tend to be triggers because this stuff is so hard to talk about. If I had a pound, kind of every time I heard the line, I just thought it would work itself out. I would.
Mm. Well, this is it. You think this is meant to be something natural, that's just part of our biology, mm-hmm. and that, you know, if you just let time take its course, it will be okay. But clearly, this wreaks havoc on relationships. And I wondered, can we heal when we've had sexual issues in a relationship that's led to these real relational difficulties? Can that be resolved?
Yeah, definitely can. And in terms of in a relationship, the one thing I would say is it takes a couple to work together.
Mm.
It's very difficult for one member of a relationship or one member of a couple, if there's only two people in that relationship, to create the change on their own. Especially if it's sexual dysfunction based, it's very difficult to kind of gradually break down that anxiety on your own, because quite often a partner without meaning to be is the kind of personification of sexual anxiety. And the biggest problem we actually see is not the dysfunction itself, but actually the snowball effect of continued avoidance and distancing from a partner, or avoidance of anything to do with intimacy, rather than actually the loss of sex itself. And quite often it's making touch and intimacy and connections safe for couples again. And that can be a real challenge if it has been repeated and repeated and repeated, and the damage is done. Mm-hmm. Because it takes both partners being able to trust the other one that they can get over that together. So
wow.
The relationship is a huge part of that.
What advice do you give to clients if they do reveal, maybe they've come to you about something else, but if they do open up and reveal that they're suffering with anxiety over sexuality?
The important thing for us to find is what the major source of the anxiety is. I do a quite detailed history take with all of my clients, and a lot of the time we're unearthing messages and repeated experiences, things that are clues to where the anxiety might be coming from. But sometimes it might be obvious, it might be a trigger event or something that happened. But a lot of the time the anxiety is a result of feeling under pressure in relation to something. An example could be something unrelated to sex. So someone got passed over for a promotion at work, they felt really disappointed about it and weren't really feeling themselves, were kind of in their head, distracted by their thoughts, went home and tried to have sex with their partner later that evening and struggled to get out of their head, struggled with sexual functioning and felt really disappointed. Their partner felt disappointed. It's kind of layering up. And suddenly the next time they go to be sexual with their partner, they start worrying that the same thing might happen again. And distraction is the biggest problem for interrupting sexual arousal. Mm. So we understand that sexual arousal is psychological and physical, and the psychological has a huge, huge impact on how we understand what physically is going on in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the common misunderstanding is that sexual anxiety has to always be about sex.
Hmm.
And actually it can be anxiety that pops up somewhere else. Exactly.
It's the symptom. And I'm just very interested in what you're describing, because it really does demonstrate how hard we need to work in relationships to make the space, the undisturbed space, to really connect with and communicate with the other person, don't we? Because there are so many distractions now on everybody's lives, and the moment of finding that harmony, it's not going to exactly happen unless you perhaps create it together.
And at the moment, a huge problem is that our most kind of natural resting state is to be multitasking, so to be on a phone in front of a screen, listening to a call. You watch people, if they're ever on hold, they're always doing something else, or on the tube. I was just on the tube now watching how many people were kind of
doing
more than one thing at once.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of becoming more primed to multitask than to actually just sit and do one thing. Mm-hmm. And so it is almost harder to be distraction free in our modern environment. And so, you know, a lot of the time as a therapist, I talk to couples about scheduling time to be distraction free, tech free, you know, space for intimacy. It's not about scheduling sex, but to have the space and the time to connect, because that's where they're struggling.
Mm. Which is good in all aspects of our lives. We all need to do it, whether it's to, you know, whether it's for our relationship or whether it's just for ourselves. And as you say, it's not something we're very good at. We'll schedule dental appointments and make sure we've paid the bills, but don't necessarily do that self-care or relationship care that's needed.
I completely agree, because the thing is, we nurture everything else. We go to the gym, we eat well, we, you know, phone our families, we schedule to see friends, we work hard, and then we just expect our relationships to be perfect and to look after themselves. And actually that's really not the case, but we kind of need the reminder that they need that, especially if we have, you know, kids, or we're trying to focus on mortgages, or we're trying to, you know, put a lot of effort in at work. Suddenly our relationships, because we just assume they're there, kind of fall to the bottom of the priority pile.
Yeah.
And quite often we don't ever realise that until it's a bit too late, or until one of our partner is saying, you haven't even kind of paid me any attention or looked me in the eye for a week. And it just happens so accidentally, because we assume because they're there that they will always be there. But Esther Perel quite talks about the problem of assuming that our partner is ours, and that in a way is quite a useful reminder to check in with that.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're kind of seeing a movement towards more mindful sex at the moment, which is basically something that psychosexual therapists have been doing for a long time, which used to be called sensate focus, which is an idea of getting back in touch with your body and noticing the sensations. And mindful sex is the idea that we are kind of directing our thoughts rather than that we are kind of emptying our heads. So we talk about sexual arousal being physical, a physical response to something that our brain has coded as sexual. That's based on us, our experiences, things that we find attractive, but also there are our thoughts and the kind of encouragement that is going on psychologically. So if we're feeling into this, if we are feeling excited, if we are able to focus fully on what's happening in the moment, what we tend to see goes hand in hand with sexual problems are distractions. So the impact on those thoughts, that taking us out of our bodies and into our heads. And mindful sex is a move towards focusing on the sensations in the body, really kind of making space for sex and connecting with what is going on and experiencing pleasure for pleasure's sake, sensuality for sensuality's sake, and really enjoying touch and just for what it is, rather than it being goal orientated or leading towards a purpose or goal, which quite often can cause stress or anxiety, for example, penetrative sex, intercourse, orgasm. So we're trying to take away the goal orientated pressure and just focus on being in the moment. And actually what we see is that tends to help people to enjoy sex more, which means that they're more likely to get to their goal anyway.
It's like a kind of return to intimacy when confronted with a barrage of images depicting physicality. And that sounds very reassuring to get people out of their bodies and a little bit more into their brains. How can psychotherapy help individuals or couples who are going through this crisis or worry?
I think it'd be hugely helpful, but I would say that. I think, firstly, it offers a taboo-free space. So quite often if people are talking about sex particularly, they feel like they're talking about the worst versions of themselves or the worst parts of themselves, because they can't voice it anywhere else. So the act of kind of sitting opposite someone and talking about the things that feel most shameful or most embarrassing in itself, I think, can offer something quite powerful. But also it's a lot about understanding. Quite often the way that I work anyway is breaking things down. So we break it down into small pieces. We look at the logic. We understand why they're feeling how they're feeling. So what is the anxiety in response to? So they're feeling anxious because they feel under pressure because they're trying to get pregnant. And they're not getting pregnant quick as they thought they would be. And so every time they're having sex, they're quite distracted or thinking, is this going to be the time? Or what if? Or what if this doesn't work? You know, and suddenly all of those thoughts are spiraling quite quickly whilst trying to have sex. And sex becomes connected with a feeling of under pressure or stress or anxiety. And actually, if we can understand that what they're feeling is quite natural because their expectation isn't being met, or this is not what they thought it was going to be like, or it doesn't match up with what they were told or what they saw or what they had assumed this process would be like, we can understand that this matters and therefore the pressure is normal, inverted commas again, expected, and that what they're struggling with is okay. But if we can unpick that a bit, they have a better idea rather than thinking, is there something wrong with me, wrong with us, what happens? And so if they can voice it, it kind of takes away some of the pressure because they have a better idea of kind of clarity and understanding and awareness of why they might be experiencing what they're experiencing.
I mean, obviously the people you see have made that decision to come into therapy, but do you still find it that people kind of do hold back from unpacking or expressing their experiences or feelings about sex? Because it's quite hard to talk about.
Yeah, it definitely takes, I think, a settling in period with psychosexual therapy. I think it depends. If people have had therapy of some kind before, they tend to be more familiar with the process and with the experience of feeling vulnerable and having talked things out with someone before and exploring their feelings. But if it's their first kind of session of therapy or attempt at therapy, it can take a couple of sessions at least. And what you might find is that once everything's settled in a bit, that then things kind of come up later in the process that they didn't feel able to voice at the beginning. But again, it's because sex is so entrenched with a lot of negative feelings for lots of people: shame, embarrassment, that feeling of taboo, or that I shouldn't be saying this, or and also just the fear that if they say something that it will be reacted to strongly, or that, you know, as the therapist might confirm how they feel about themselves, which is that something really is not okay about them. But I think, like any therapy process, it's about the relationship as well. But I think so often people are saying things, and you know, the line that we hear again and again is, I can't believe I'm saying this, or I can't believe I'm talking about this, because we don't have a space for it.
Yeah. Where can you do it? There isn't really a space for it.
Mm.
I think that I take great hope from what you've said, actually, and I think our listeners would, in terms of a kind of summing up what you're saying, and I think this is coming through very loud and clear, is that if someone is feeling anxious about sex, then chances are all of those other people sat on the train with them are going through similar emotions, and that there isn't something wrong with you if you're... Maybe you feel your body is letting you down in some way, or maybe there's this kind of distancing between you and a partner. Actually, it's not because there's something wrong with you. It's because there's been a disconnect, which could have been brought about by a whole range of things, whether it's historic or whether it's to do with work or whatever. And I think many people will probably think, I can't talk about this, I'm so ashamed and there's something wrong with me. But you seem to be saying, actually, no, you're okay.
Well, I think the thing that I quite often like to refer back to is the fact that everything in life we learn through trial and error, through being taught, through learning, through talking to other people, judging based on other people's experiences. And with sex, we don't do that. We just expect it to be instantly perfect and great and never faltering, never goes up and down, constantly fantastic, and that nobody ever has any problems because it's not discussed. And everything else in life has ups and downs, but when it comes to sex and intimacy and relationships, we just assume that they should always be okay.
Yeah.
And if you try and think about sex in the terms of something else, I think it kind of takes the sting out of the tail a bit. But absolutely, like, we struggle with everything at some point, and I don't see why sex should be any different.
Exactly. You can always find people on fora who can talk about issues around parenting or work stuff, but sex is a completely different subject.
Yeah.
So if someone's listening to this and thinking, okay, that might be me, have you got a few final words of advice for them?
I would say to the communication is the key to everything, but also to good sex, but to see if you're able to discuss it with your partner, or if you don't have a partner, someone around you that you trust and feel close to. But there is great resources, there are great online workshops. For example, if therapy isn't something you feel quite ready for, there are amazing psychosexual relationship therapists, especially in the UK, we have some amazing ones. And great resources, great books. We're really kind of getting this conversation started now. Mm-hmm. And to not put extra pressure on yourself, but just to try and take it easy, give yourself a break, and take away the pressure point if that's a possibility to do so.
That was UKCP psychotherapist Kate Moyle speaking to Sarah Niblock, the CEO of the UKCP. If, after listening to that you feel you could benefit from talking time with a psychotherapist, then go to Find a Therapist section of the UKCP website and have a look through. The website address is www.psychotherapy.org.uk and look for the Find a Therapist tab. We'll also be talking about Sexual Anxiety in Psychology's magazine this month, or you can find us online at psychologies.co.uk. We'll be doing a podcast each month for the next year with some of the UKCP's psychotherapists. And remember to like and subscribe to our channel to hear it first, and it'll help others find us too. So join us again next month. Till then, thank you for listening and take good care of yourselves.